Greetings, this is Jeff Riddle, pastor of Christ Reformed Baptist Church in Louisa, Virginia. This is another in this occasional series of readings from and brief notes and commentary upon Eusebius of Caesarea's The Ecclesiastical History. Here is Book 8, Chapters 5 and 6. Chapter 5. To begin with, the moment that the decree against the churches was published at Nicomedia, a certain person, by no means obscure, but most highly honored as the world counts preeminence, moved by zeal toward God and carried away by his burning faith, seized and tore it to pieces when posted up in an open and public place as an unholy and profane thing. And this he did while two emperors were present in the same city, the senior of them all and he who held forth the place in the government after him. But this man was the first of those at that time who thus distinguished himself, and at the same time, in his endurance of such results as naturally followed, a daring act of this kind, he maintained an untroubled and undisturbed demeanor to his very last breath. Chapter 6. But among all those whose praises have ever yet been sung as worthy of admiration and fame for courage, whether by Greeks or barbarians, this occasion produced those divine and outstanding martyrs, Dorotheus and the imperial servants that were with him. These persons had been deemed worthy of the highest honors by their masters, who loved them no less than their own children. But they accounted reproaches and sufferings for piety, and the many forms of death that were newly devised against them, as truly great riches than the fair fame and luxury of this life. We shall mention the kind of death that one of them met, and leave our readers to gather from that instance what happened to the others. A certain man was publicly brought forward in the city of which we have spoken above, under the rulers we have mentioned. He was ordered to sacrifice, and, as he refused, the command was given that he should be raised on high naked, and have his whole body torn with scourges, until he should give in, and even against his will do what was bidden him. But when he remained unmoved, even under these sufferings, they proceeded to mix vinegar and salt together and pour them into the mangled parts of his body, where the bones were already showing. And as he despised these pains also, a gridiron and fire were then produced, and the remains of his body, just as if it were flesh for eating, were consumed by the fire, not all at once in case he might find immediate release, but little by little. Nor were those who placed him on the pyre allowed to desist until, after such sufferings, he should signify his assent to what was commanded. But he clung fixedly to his purpose and triumphantly gave up the ghost in the midst of his tortures. Such was the martyrdom of one of the imperial servants, who truly was worthy of his name, for he was called Peter. But we shall pass by the martyrdoms of the rest, though they were not inferior, having regard to the due proportions of the book, only placing it on record that Dorotheus and Gorgonius, together with many others of the imperial household, after conflicts of various kinds, departed this life by strangling, and so carried off the prizes of the God-given victory. At that time, Anthemus, who then presided over the church at Nicomedia, was beheaded for his witness to Christ. And with him was associated a large number of martyrs altogether. For I know not how, in the palace of Nicomedia, a fire broke out in those very days. And through a false suspicion, the rumor went around that it was the work of our people. And by the imperial command, the God-fearing persons there, whole families and in heaps, were in some cases butchered with the sword, while others were perfected by fire. When it is recorded that men and women leaped upon the pyre with a divine and unspeakable eagerness. The executioners bound a multitude of others, and placing them on boats, threw them into the depths of the sea. As to the imperial servants, whose bodies after death had been committed to the ground with fitting honors, their reputed master, starting afresh, deemed it necessary to exhume them and cast them also into the sea, lest any, regarding them as actually gods, so at least they imagined, should worship them as they lay in their tombs. Such were the things that were done in Nicomedia at the beginning of the persecution. But not long afterward, when some in the district known as Melitene And again, on the other hand, when others in Syria had attempted to take possession of the empire, an imperial command went forth that the presidents of the churches everywhere should be thrown into prison and bonds. And the spectacle of what followed surpasses all description. For in every place a countless number were shut up, and everywhere the prisons that long ago had been prepared for murderers and grave robbers were then filled with bishops and presbyters and deacons, readers and exorcists, so that there was no longer any room left for those condemned for wrongdoing. Moreover, the first letter was followed by others, wherein the order had been given that those in prison should be allowed to go in liberty if they sacrificed, but if they refused, should be mutilated by countless tortures. And then, once more, how could one here number the multitude of the martyrs in each province, and especially of those in Africa and Mauritania and in Thebes and in Egypt? From this last country also some departed into other cities and provinces and were distinguished in their martyrdoms. Here ends Book 8, Chapters 5 and 6, and we'll move on to some notes and commentary. These chapters continue to describe the Diocletian persecution, focusing on the sufferings of Christians in Nicomedia, the ancient city of Nicomedia, now the modern city of Izmit, Turkey. And Diocletian had made Nicomedia to be the capital of the Eastern Roman Empire in AD 286. And so these chapters describe the sufferings of Christians in that city and also within the imperial circles around the empire, the emperor and his government. Chapter 5 notes that when the edict against Christians was announced, one unnamed upper-class Christian boldly took down a publicly posted copy and tore it to pieces, for which he met martyrdom. A footnote explains that this was probably the martyr Euthyphes, adding, quote, "Tradition, however, identified him with St. George of England," end quote. That's from page 263 of this edition of the Ecclesiastical History. Chapter 6 describes the sufferings of those in the imperial household. The eunuch Dorotheus and Gorgonius were strangled. An imperial servant named Peter suffered grotesque and violent torture on the gridiron. Anthemus, the bishop of Nicomedia, was beheaded. And after a fire broke out in the palace, Christians were blamed and many more were butchered with the sword or burned. And the bodies of many were cast into the sea for fear that Christians would worship them if they were placed in tombs. After an uprising in Melitene in Armenia, an imperial command was given for the presidents of the churches and other officers to be arrested and imprisoned. Further letters urged that the church officers would be forced to sacrifice to the gods or face mutilation and torture. And this led to numerous martyrdoms being recorded in each province and city. In conclusion, these chapters note that among the first to suffer in the Diocletian persecution were those in the imperial household and in the city of Nicomedia. Christians were blamed for fires and for insurrection in order to give cover to the government to carry out their persecutions against them. This persecution under Diocletian is presented by Eusebius as the most serious and widespread persecution that was faced by early Christians. And yet, even here, he continues to describe the believers as remaining faithful to death and many being willing to offer up their lives for their faith. And so, obviously, the Christian faith is presented as one that is beleaguered, but it is still able to persevere and to survive and perhaps even thrive under these circumstances. Well, this brings this episode to a conclusion. I hope this has been helpful for those who are listening, and I will look forward to speaking to you in the next episode. Till then, take care and God bless.